We're good to go. All right. I'd like to call the February 5th, 2018 grant meeting to order. The roll call, Judy.
Present.
Gussie.
Yes.
Ann.
Yes.
Ellen. Erica.
Yes.
All right. Chrissy is on. She said she's on her way. She texted me. She's running late from coming home from St. Louis. Hit traffic.
Excuse me. Would you like to say Liz?
Did I say Liz, didn't I?
No, you said Helen.
Did I say?
That's my sister's name.
I'm sorry, Liz. Wow. I did not mean that. Pardon.
I think you said the wrong page.
February the 11th.
Is it? Oh, I see February the 5th.
Yeah.
February the 11th.
Wow.
It's been a long day.
Well,
is it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it is the 12th. February.
The 12th.
Monday
not
the
12th. Even 11th. 12th, not the 5th.
All right, whatever. All right, so Helen is absent and Bruce is absent. Liz is here. So, all right. Approval of minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That was Liz and then Erica.
Thank you.
We had this email earlier. All right. Any public comment? Did you have public comment?
You said you wanted to say something.
I got a proposal I'd like to present to the board.
Okay.
This is the time.
This is the time?
Okay. All right. I got a proposal here. I was hoping that Helen would have been here today. But we got water lines that are 50 to 60 years old in South Roxana, like 27,000 feet of 2-inch cast iron pipe that we're using for water lines. It was put in years and years ago, like I said. And they're failing at a pretty high rate these days, freezing and thawing. And I made this proposal back in 2012, and I contacted congressmen and senators. I contacted the state of Illinois, Illinois EPA Revolving Loan Fund, numerous other organizations. I wrote them letters and stuff like that. Anyway, I can't get any funding for this project. I've got an estimate here from SMS Engineering for it. It's an old estimate. It's just an estimate. There's no bid or plan generated for it, but they did develop this estimate. But anyway, we probably, in today's dollars, we probably need approximately $2 million to replace these cast iron pipes that are failing. And I've got pictures of some of the failing pipes, and I'd just like to present that to the board and for consideration for funding, either through a grant or grant loan, you know, however you structure it or phase it, you know, do part of it, part of the town, you know, in the next year or 3 years or 5 years. But at least get something started where we can get some of these lines replaced before we have a health issue or a catastrophic failure.
As I said, we don't have any grants for $2 million. Is this part of the, is the city applied for any grant money before?
I don't know exactly what they have done.
Yes, they have.
To start on the water main project?
They've done water mains. That's what they've done largely in the past.
I remember they were on last year, but I don't remember what they put in for.
Sanitary sewer improvements at the lift station.
Was it?
And I'm sorry, I haven't met. Are you?
I'm Ron Baggett.
Okay, and you?
South Roxana.
Okay.
And it's Daryl Williams. He's my buddy.
I do.
You said cast iron pipe. Was that sewer?
Two-inch water main.
So this would be under community block grant?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, CDBG.
Well, see, that's what I'm, but by the time you do engineering on a job with $100,000 is what your maximum is, you're going to take 20% off of that. That's 20 grand. So you're only going to get $80,000 worth of something, you know, that you can touch and feel. So...
Well, the city would have to buck up on the engineering fees. We wouldn't cover that.
They have been.
Have they been?
Yes.
Well, I'm saying on what he's talking
some
about.
Some of those things can be waived. I understand that.
Are you with the city of Roxana?
I'm on the zoning board, but that's...
Zoning board.
I'm here as an individual.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. This isn't the city this is an individual we're talking to, so.
Right.
We do have the UDAG loan program. You can operate at 3%, $750,000 over.
But that's something the city would have to come to.
The city would have to.
Like I said, we can't do anything with an individual. It has to be through the city itself, through the municipality. You understand what I'm saying? The way we're set up, we can't do grants with South Roxanna would have to come to us with this.
Okay, well, you're seeking public input.
Yes.
What's that here on the paper?
I mean, to go any farther with.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
I mean, to go any farther with it, though, to actually do something with it, the city of Roxanna has to come to us with it.
Well, that's why I was hoping Helen would be here tonight, because she's in my district and represents me, so, you know, I was gonna give her this, so that she would have it.
Might I also add, I do believe South Roxanna is going to be applying for a block grant loan, and their individual municipalities also have to hold their own public meetings for community input. So if you talk with Bob Coles at the Village of South Roxanna, he should be able to tell you when the upcoming meeting is going to be, so that you can give input to them, and that will directly be what their application is gonna be going for.
Right.
And that's what that article in the paper is about, isn't it?
Right, so.
If you have.
One of our goals moving forward that we are pointing in a high priority fashion is actually water main improvement. So I am taking down your comment, but we are already, the Grants Committee sees that as a high priority. So the city would have to go ahead and apply for that. That's their, up to them to go ahead and apply for that.
Okay.
But they have applied for several water main lines over the past 5 years.
Right, I do know that, right. You done? No. Well, see what else is proposed. Who could I leave this with? Could I leave this for Helen or?
I can take it.
Had a lot of photographs in there of the pipes, how bad they are.
Yeah. I'm sure it's all rusted up. Yeah, like I said, I can get this to Helen. I don't, like I said, I don't know what the city of South Roxanna is even applying for this year, if it's water or sewer.
We don't have the application.
You don't have that, then, all right, like I said, I'll pass this on to Helen.
Okay, is there a deadline for, what would be the deadline to get it in?
What is that deadline?
April 24th or 27th, I can't remember which one. April 24th or 27th.
Yeah, the city of South Roxanna knows how it works. Yeah. Are you guys your own water, or do you have Illinois American?
We have our own distribution system.
You have your own distribution
system. We buy our water from Roxanna.
Okay.
But we maintain the lines and the pumps and, well, no pumps, I guess, but the meters.
Not on your end, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'll pass this on to Helen. Yeah, I would say talk to your city council and see what they're even applying for, because I don't know.
Well, I've got their names all on that. They all got a copy of that.
Okay. All right, yeah, that would be the place to start. All right, any other comments?
I'd like to ask a question when it comes time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I live in South Roxanna. Down on Prairie and Rose Street, they put a new storm sewer in. And everybody has seen it, I guess, in the pictures, the papers. But anyway, it flooded, overloaded. And when it flooded, it got into a house there on Prairie. It went into the basement 5 foot deep. But when it went down, the woman had mold. She's got children, grandchildren, mold everywhere. And then across the street, my son-in-law's place, they had it in there 6 to 8 inches deep. They had to tear everything out, and they got a little girl, my granddaughter. And it's not what they got down there is not big enough to take care of the water problem. They got two ponds down there, what do you call them?
Retention
ponds. One works partly, and the other one's full of mud. If we could get just enough money to have this grant to clean that one out, like a track will come in and you have a few trucks and get that mud out of there, because it can't go in the sand. It's probably 4 to 5 foot deep in clay. and that's just building a lake. And you go out there now, the water ain't down yet. And spring's coming with that heavy rains, and these people don't have a chance down there. Children was out there, there was some children out there on the street there at Prairie, at the corner, and the sewers were backing up and overflowing because of the storm rain. It was so heavy that time. The children were swimming in sewer. You know, this is a health problem. And it ain't getting any better, and it just seems like there's never no money. But just to clean the pond out would be a big help. And that's not talking about no $1 million, you know, bring a track hole in, a few trucks, and get rid of that mud that's in that one pond on Prairie. You can just see it right off the road when you look at it.
And is this in within South Roxana?
Yeah, South Roxana.
You would be better off actually with planning and development is the ones where that money would come from. It wouldn't come through this one.
Well,
they're the one too.
It's a health problem, and I just thought maybe you guys would work on something like that, the health problem, the children, the playing in that stuff, mold.
What I'm saying is the planning and development, there's money in there for these issues.
Yeah, that department's upstairs.
It's just right upstairs.
Well, you got an apartment upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who actually does that. It's not us on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there is actual money for that kind of stuff.
Okay, thank
you. Like I said, if it's the city of South Roxana, it'll have to be the one to come to us. But,
oh, yeah.
And then now out of the Stormwater Commission, there's other things that are going to be coming up too for that.
You people work with people that don't do nothing. We have some of them.
No.
They're just there. And it hurts because our citizens suffer.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, they have to be the ones to instigate it, but planning and development, there's stuff to, there's recourse through that, and also the Stormwater Commission should be coming up with some stuff here too to rectify those situations as far as funding, so which is always the problem. Digging a ditch ain't a big deal, it's paying people to do it.
Yeah, paying people to do it.
That's what the issue is, I understand that.
Are they there till 4:30?
Yeah, they're till 4:30.
They're right above us.
Oh, yeah.
Till 4:30.
21 minutes. If you want to.
Sure.
And we're from Planning and Development, and we're not stormwater, but our colleague Steve Brendel is. He handles stormwater management.
That's actually who I was going to go.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Steve Brendel. I'll write it down. He may be out in the field right now, but he's incredibly helpful.
But it wouldn't be that big a cost. You only do it in a day.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's either Steve Brendel, or I was going to have him talk to Matt Brandemeyer or Chris Duclos, but yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to us.
Have a good time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other comments? All right, moving on. Approval of reports, there are no bills and purchase requests. Everybody had a chance to look at the bills? Any questions?
So my only question was that I noticed we still have toner and printer and that kind of thing coming through, and I was under the impression that that was part of the package deal that went through. No, it's not.
For employment and training, we're sort of out of that umbrella because it's all federal money, so all the equipment that we own has been bought through the state.
Okay.
So in order to replace anything, we'd have to get approval through the state. So that's probably what you're seeing in our group. It's probably similar with you guys, right?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's the funding stream, basically. So. Yeah.
Any other questions, comments? Now I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Motion by Gussie.
Second.
Second by Liz.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Judy?
Yes.
Gussie?
Yes.
Ann?
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Yes. All right. For the record, Chrissy Dutton showed up. Motion passes. All right. Next is a resolution to authorize the resource education program funding. This has already been passed through planning and development. Are there any questions?
Okay, that's great. So I'll go ahead and jump in and give a brief overview of what it is that you're looking at. My name is Eve Droopy, and as we said, I'm from planning and development, and I run the resource education program, more commonly, formally known as the Green Schools Program. It's in its 28th year, but the name has recently changed.
So for those of you who are unfamiliar, what my program does is it provides education or logistical support for any Madison County school, private, public, parochial, and now we have incorporated homeschoolers too, and that's a growing population, in anything involving environmental or outdoor education, particularly regarding Madison County ecology, and waste diversion or reduction, so recycling, repurposing, or just sort of smart purchasing, and the wise use of our air, land, and water. So that includes anything what you would do as a resident to smart farming practices. What we're trying to do is create wise community stewards for our next generation and make sure our kiddos are plugged into what lives and grows in Madison County and how we keep it healthy. So what I'm requesting is the same as past years, $65,750 for the program. And what this goes to includes our teacher education, so we make sure that our educators are going out and reteaching the wisest principles and standards to their students. We've reallocated some things, and I've made some changes about how this money is spent based on requests from our participating schools for curriculum. So I actually brought with me just one copy in case you wanted to take a peek. This is being rolled out this year. This came out this year, and that's our program guide and curriculum catalog. So what we've had requested from our administrators and school districts is a great deal of curriculum that they can use with their existing lessons. So what we have now is something available to teachers that can use with their language arts, with their math, with their social studies, things like that, that teach what it is we're doing in planning and development. We have dozens of schools and growing participating, and thousands of students in the Madison County area participating. And our revenue actually comes from a obscure 1989 solid waste management law where tipping fees from dump trucks that come to our two landfills are earmarked for environmental education, which is this program. So for 28 years running now, this program is actually tax revenue neutral. So not a penny of it comes from our taxpayers, but half of our $65,000 actually goes back to our schools in the form of grants. We have a $32,000 fund each year where schools can come to us for a up to $2,000 reimbursable grant for anything involving outdoor education or waste reduction. So a lot of popular ones are schools are asking for water bottle refilling stations, so they're cutting down on the plastic that they're putting out in landfills, or costs to them for waste hauling if they're reducing the amount of trash put out. So we have had quite a few requests already this year, so we could end up with that entire pot of funds for grants going right back to our schools.
Are you connected with the regional at all, the regional superintendent of schools in any of
those? Yes, two? Yeah, and that's how I communicate all of this through our, through every year I talk with the superintendents at the beginning of the year through ROE, and we're actually trying to work with them to do some teacher training where teachers can get professional development credits for learning how to use some of our curriculum materials.
So do you still do the Earth Day?
We do. We have an end of year celebration where we've actually changed that just a little bit, where schools can either come to a celebration during the school day, is how it's usually been. We've changed that to an evening celebration, so more people are able to come without an interruption to their school day. And then schools can also have individual kits if they want to celebrate as a school.
And is this where they acknowledge, like, certain schools would be picked, right?
Right, exactly, for their participation. Yeah, we have some really active
schools. Every school, they don't apply, they're just naturally in, right?
It depends.
Well, they have to act on the recycling program.
Right, so in order to have an award at the end of the year, schools have to be active participants in our program, which means that they participate in at least two ways. So we have some schools who may never have recycled paper ever, and we have some other schools who are starting to supply their kitchen from their school garden and want to know the best, organic compost to use. We're, either end of the spectrum here. But for some of our end of year awards, or best coordinator of the year, because we have some really active teachers, you do need to be nominated and apply.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other comments?
Just a question. So as of January 11th, there were these grants that had been requested.
Right. Okay. That's right.
So there's still more pending, or?
That's right, and since then we've had three more come in to make inquiries from Triad School District, Edwardsville School District, and we're talking with someone in the Highland School District, actually. So there's a lot of use for those out there.
Any other questions?
You have St. Paul too, the public and St. Paul at Highland?
You know, we don't have St. Paul, but actually I have a friend of mine who teaches there.
My son's girlfriend does, and I know that they used to be, they won it before, so yeah. I know they were very active.
Yeah.
All right, I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Motion by Ann.
Second.
Second by Gussie. Judy,
yes.
Gussie, Ann.
Yes.
Tracy.
Yes.
Liz.
Yes.
Erica. All right, next, a resolution authorizing environmental grants for fiscal year 2018. About that?
It's that time of year again. We put out the request for proposals in December. These are the $15,000 environmental grants that are open to municipalities, townships, and park districts. And we received a total of 20 applicants for this year. We're requesting funding for 10 of those. There is a 20% match required for all these grants. And we are the same as the resource education program. The funding for these comes from those tipping fees from the landfills. So we are requesting a total of $149,000, $149,410 for environmental grants. You can see the list of them. Did you guys get the memo that lists what the projects are?
No.
The majority of the projects are stormwater related, and then there's the efficiency related.
And how did you determine of the 20 applicants which 10?
There's a point system for them, and they're heavily weighted to those municipalities and townships that received funding in the prior year, getting fewer points than the ones that are applying this year. So you'll see this year hardly any of these received funding last year. But we do put we have a pool of the ones who did not receive funding, so we go back at the end of the fiscal year, and if there is still funding remaining, we will consider those under applications.
And this already has past planning and development, so. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Now I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Liz, second by Ann. Judy?
Yes. Yes.
Ann?
Yes.
Kristen?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Resolution authorized Madison County, Illinois to join the St. Louis Area Regional Council on Homelessness and Mission and Vision Proposal. Mr. Harrison.
Good afternoon, everyone. I've been involved over the last probably 12 months in discussions with a regional body to combat homelessness in the St. Louis metropolitan area. I've been involved in conversations in the past about doing this, and they've all kind of fizzled out. This has actually reached a point where we're beginning to formalize that relationship, and so I'm asking for a resolution to allow community development to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the City of St. Louis County, Lincoln-Warren, St. Charles, St. Clair County, and the balance of state Missouri, which is basically is Jefferson, Washington, in our area. The City of St. Louis put money up for this effort, hired a consultant. We've been meeting over the last year, discussing what we want this to look like. We've come up with a leadership council, which is the actually, the acronym in the PowerPoint presentation is incorrect. That's been changed to the St. Louis Area Regional Council on Homelessness, or SLARCH. Not real sold on the name, but that's what it came down to. So basically, this is It's regionalizing our effort to combat homelessness in our area. I think this is good for Madison County in the fact that St. Louis has the resources, the knowledge, the experience, much more than we do with homelessness. And I think we will do nothing but benefit from this effort. At this point, it commits us to nothing but signing a memorandum of agreement to participate in this process.
Did we get a person appointed to that board?
Yeah, in the material that I had forwarded,
I read
the leadership council makeup. There's two representatives from each political jurisdiction, and then seven other at-large members for this council. The at-large members would be divided geographically so that one region is not heavily weighted versus another. Mm-hmm. So we should have equal representation, equal to the city of St. Louis or St. Louis County. The Continuum of Care in Madison County has appointed me as the COC representative. So part of this process eventually, not today, will be for a Madison County appointee determined by the chairman or the grants committee or however you all decide to do that. And then, let's see, this is in its infancy, so how the other members will be chosen is yet to be determined. We have not quite gotten to that point yet.
You say it's only a memorandum of understanding. What does it say?
Well, actually, the memo has not even been developed yet.
Well, then, how can you join something that hasn't been formed?
Well, that's part of forming the council, is to come up with the membership. The membership then
would
the council.
Make more sense to have more information? I mean, how much would this cost the county? What would be any obligations?
At this point, it would be my time. There are no other financial obligations that have been discussed. I don't anticipate any financial obligations. And again, if we choose not to participate anymore, we can simply withdraw. So this council will actually write the memo of understanding. All parties agreeing to the contents.
I guess I would question, how can you join something that doesn't exist yet? I think it would be more conservative to wait until it exists.
Is there some way to show our support of this?
We have
if we so choose.
Up to this point, by my participation. Mm-hmm. And that's about the only thing that we've done so far.
So you're just asking for something that says we are in favor of you representing us at this point.
Or Madison County being involved in it.
Right. Madison County being a part of it. Mm-hmm. My name does not have to be attached.
Right.
But speaking for myself, I would expect that you would probably be the best representative from the county.
You.
Yes.
And you're also looking for another Madison County appointee?
Well, according to the Leadership Council makeup at this point, that's what we've all agreed to.
Yeah.
And I certainly understand your concerns, your point. And maybe the resolution could be reworded differently to ease your mind. At this point, this is just a commitment for us to be a part of this effort.
Well, I think it's a great idea because we are facing a lot of homelessness in our area, this side of the river as well as the other side. And you know, I've attended some of your seminars that you had dealing with homelessness, and this is a vital thing that we have to address, and this is a good way about doing it for the whole area.
Right. It's really more about the collaborative effort and the fact that you. People cross those boundaries all the time. So by collaborating and communicating, we think we can better deal with those situations and alleviate some of the homelessness in the area.
Mm-hmm. And also provide records for people who are homeless but transient in the area too. Mm-hmm.
Right. Another part, in Maryville,
we get people off the interstate, but they came from St. Louis.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
It happens all the time.
And I've encountered people crossing the country.
Had that too.
Happened to stop here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the items of discussion is sharing data as well. Each of our jurisdictions are required to participate in a homeless management information system, but my data is Madison County's data, St. Clair County's is their data, St. Louis City.
There's no sharing in between.
There's no sharing.
Different governmental organizations.
I agree with Liz. I think it's a good thing. I see what he's saying too. We could just go ahead and.
Are there privacy issues at all with like sharing that kind of stuff from a legal standpoint? We would need to worry about at all. I see definitely where it would be helpful, in its pure form.
Right.
Is there a reason people don't currently share that or?
I don't know that there's a reason that we don't do it, because we've just never done it. Any privacy concerns would be dealt with in a signed release of information. So folks that we encounter, we have them sign a release of information, and in that release it would say that this data could be shared with St. Louis City, County, etc. Okay. We do that now in Madison County because we have different agencies that are collecting that information.
Gotcha.
And it's all going into one pot. So, and we all share that information within our agencies. Mm-hmm. So we've got that covered in our release of information that the data could be shared with other agencies.
Any other questions? How does the committee feel?
I think we should pursue it, but this is basically committing us to a memorandum that hasn't been written yet. So I think we need to
get the memorandum
established before we would.
I don't have a problem with that.
Not that I foresee any issue, but I would think we'd want to do that.
I don't foresee an issue with it either, but I would agree. Mm-hmm. A memorandum of what we're actually signing would be.
Right.
Or to have the organization have it formalized first before you try to present something.
Well, I think they have to come up with a memorandum of understanding before we can agree to it.
Yeah.
This is all early in the process, and
pretty much this is just seeing if whether or not we're interested in doing it, being partners.
Well, that's certainly one step.
I think everybody here is under the. I feel the impression is. We are for it, but let's have something a little bit more rock solid before we sign anything.
Maybe not ready for the resolution yet.
Like I said, I'm not against it. So.
Okay.
It makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Will you be able to continue moving forward without a sign? Yeah, okay. So we're not holding you up really,
but. No, they're not going to kick me off.
Yeah. And only because I'm thinking of longer term and awareness. Just a thought for you is, and a vision was a marked reduction in overall homeless throughout the St. Louis and metro region. I think you could somehow get that in there over time.
Sure, no problem.
I mean, because that's really, especially with St. Clair County and us.
Right. Yeah, everyone is always very careful about the language when it comes to east-west.
I will try.
Right.
Thank you.
So, are you going to bring this back to us once that's done?
Sure.
If not, I can have a motion to postpone. I'll automatically kick it back to us. But if you're going to have a resolution with everything, we'll just do it that way then. Okay.
Whichever way you choose.
That's fine. We can just bring it back to us once a little bit. farther along. All right. Next up, resolution authorizing the park and recreation loan to the village of Pontoon Beach.
Pontoon Beach is requesting to make their second ever park. Their park district's only been around about 4 or 5 years. They're very proud of their first park, so they decided to try number two. They bought a little lot last year with their PEP grant for around $8,000. It's less than an acre. And they're going to finish that park this year with this little PEP loan. 3 years, 3%, $84,000, and they hope to start the repayment this summer. And it already passed our PEP commission.
Yeah. Passed PEP already.
It's on Long Lake. It's actually on the lake. It's on the northwest corner of Caseburg and Pontoon Road.
Is that right? Down the bike path is on one
yes.
side?
Yes.
Yes. Should be a good area. Any questions? If not, accept a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Ann. Second, Liz. Judy?
Yes.
Jesse?
Yes.
Ann?
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
All right, public meeting. For annual action plan, seeking input and community meeting regarding allocation of CDBG and home funds. It will be outlined in the 2018 annual action plan application that will be submitted to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Our basis is passing out the agendas here.
This
is the annual 2018 action plan for 2018. We're required to do this by the federal government for the CDBG and home program for our federal allocation. This year, we are projecting to get $2.7 million in allocation for the CDBG program to fund projects that meet the national objectives of benefiting low to moderate income individuals, eliminating slum and blight, and projects meeting urgent need. On the agenda, you'll see the listed activities that we can fund to meet those national objectives. We also are projecting to receive $700,000 in allocations for the home program. The national objectives for home is to provide safe, decent, and affordable housing. We also have the activities listed there that can be funded to meet those national objectives. The items we've identified as what will be the objectives to meet these national objectives is affordable housing, impediments to fair housing, basic needs, community development needs, and economic development. And we want to take some public comments on these subjects so that we can report those back to HUD.
Any questions?
If you don't have any questions, on the back there, if you think of any, there's an email to send them to. And we'd love to hear from you guys. It helps us in making the plan to get guidance from the public.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Anybody have any idea if the projected numbers are going to actually be close to real?
No, I hope we'll have an idea in the next month or so.
Oh, did I go the wrong way?
No, I don't know. I
heard it might be continued,
yeah,
so it
signed
might be
it, so
the
actually, Gussie and Gussie.
No, that's not.
Yeah, I have not heard anything about it, so.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Administrative reports, appointment training. Tony, you're up.
I wanted to give you all an update from a couple months ago. We talked about some of the outreach things that we're starting to try to increase people coming in. The first thing is, as you recall, we're working with an MBA class at SIU on a marketing plan. I met with the class on January 21st, presented what we do for about 15 minutes, had about 45 minutes of questions, which was pretty exciting to me that they were that engaged. I've gotten some work so far from them, their target marketing plans and a few other things that we're making comments on giving back. The class ends the end of February, so there's two groups that will be presenting their final plans on February 21st, two on February 28th. They have a nice big classroom they're in with lots of seats if anybody's interested. I know on the 21st you can just go straight from the county board meeting right over to the marketing presentations, okay?
What's the date? 21st?
21st and 28th.
At what time?
I need to find out yet. I will.
And that's Chris Winter's
class?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so there's four groups working on marketing plans for us, so some of the target market, we needed to steer them back in the right direction, but...
I'll be all over that.
Yeah, so we're moving forward with that. So once we get those four plans at the end of February, we'll go through internally and come up with a plan on our own. I mean, what we're really looking at is help defining and finding millennials and how to reach out to them. So we have a more mature group in our employment and training that we're really not in tune with the millennials and what, how to reach them and what they're looking for.
Hold on. Can we go on?
It's interesting. I've done a little research, and what you find is millennials are big on word of mouth. If one of their cohorts in that age group has had a good experience, that weighs heavily on what they do. And the other thing is they're big into mentorships. They can find somebody to mentor them. So it's a couple of things that we'll be looking at moving forward, and I'm interested to see if the marketing plans come back to show those things as well. So the second thing we talked about is co-locating staff at the Department of Human Services offices in East Alton and Granite City, and we started doing that February 1st, half a day on Thursdays, because that's when they have their TANF people come in who have to come in for work requirements. So we're trying to deal with the TANF population and also the food stamp population. So the two people that are out there are sort of getting a lay of the land and working with the caseworkers that they have in the office to try to get more involvement of people into our program so we can help them find jobs. Another area of low-income individuals that we tried to reach out to are those that receive general assistance through the township offices. So I had two of my staff met and presented at the township officials meeting at the end of January. Just let them know what we have available. If they have somebody come in looking for cash or looking for services, to send them our way. So another thing, we had a meeting out at SIU about something different, but we had some individuals there talking to them about how do we reach out to SIUE students who are probably eligible for the money that we have available based on the income requirements and everything. And the person went back and checked, and we talked about specifically meeting with guidance counselors or those people who are in the financial aid office, and they determined that it's so spread out in different areas that points of contact with these individuals that we were talking about possibly doing a video that they can show to their staff on an ongoing basis about our programs in WIOLA and the eligibility. That way they can reach out to students and let them know, hey, these funds are available, why don't you go apply, as opposed to big student loans and grants and those things. So
just a thought to get to the student base out there, if you videotaped a podcast and put it on YouTube, and then you tell the teachers to advise kids, they'll look at it before class is over. I mean, that's...
Yep.
So just do a podcast during class. They will.
Yeah, they'll look at it. They don't pay attention to class, right?
But the podcast, they... Cause
right. Says, this one just came up last week, so it's really in its infancy, but...
Just a
that
thought.
That's an idea. Yep. So we are moving forward with some of the outreach, so we'll see how all this transpires, and I'm coming back with updates on success or lack thereof, but... For this year, we're sort of about, in my mind, about 6 months behind. It would have been nice to have done this about 6 months ago, quite honestly. But we'll see where we're at coming into June. So,
any questions for Tony?
The Wednesday night class usually starts at 6. Is she having you come in at 6?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because the final week, they have finals and also presentations. So okay. I'm not sure if... I would think she'd probably want to do the final first and then the presentation. So
okay, so that's finals week.
The 28th is for the master's class. Yeah.
Okay, so there's going to be two presentations,
right,
on the 21st at 6.
I'm not sure if she's doing them at the beginning of class or the end. I need to follow up with her. I will find out.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to send. I would like to go and participate.
Sure. I will let you know. Yeah. So.
Thank you, Don.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Community development update?
Well, I don't have a big update yet.
about 6 weeks in here, but I did send you all an email, hopefully got it, just asking, I'd love to meet and follow you one-on-one and get to know you better than just here. No? This is no. But yeah, that's something that I'd like to just meet all the board members and get to know everybody and hear more of your thoughts on Madison County and the needs and that kind of thing. So.
Any questions? Thank you, Trudy. All right. Means there's no old business, new business.
New business.
You want to go?
I want to take more than a minute. Mine's going to be real short.
Go ahead. No,
I just wanted to thank Dave Harris and Community Development for inviting me to, I don't know what you call it.
Project Homeless Connect.
Project Homeless Connect up at River of Life Church in the northwestern part of the county. I learned a lot, really enjoyed being there, and I've been thinking about human trafficking since that time it was brought up, and sometimes we don't see that in our normal everyday life, and we don't think it exists, and I've been thinking a lot about it. It's something we really don't want in our community at all, and so I would just encourage everyone, even though we don't see that day to day, I know the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has got a big emphasis on eradicating human trafficking, but it can happen in different forms, and the fact that we don't know, I've been thinking a lot about that. We don't want that in Madison County, and so keep your eyes and ears open and let us know. Let us know in community development, and we'll get law enforcement involved, and so that was the thing that I just came away from, but it's a great event. So that's all I had to say.
And I'll be brief. I wasn't sure where to take this, but what I want to illustrate is the ongoing relationship that the Recorder's Office has developed with the Secretary of State and the Illinois State Archives. And in order to do that, I'm going to show you a document that we recently found in our office. And I know, Ann, you said, you know, when we talk about millennials, basically it's an iPhone. But I have a piece of paper. I had a class come in recently from a survey class from the university, and I brought the folks around, and I was able to show them this, and it may not mean a lot to you, but I'm a bit of a document nerd. This is a document from 1837. The government sent surveyors to Madison County to partition it off in the early 1800s. The Robinson records, and also I think the Stevenson records. Well, what I found is a notebook. It's a field notebook that Surveyor Robinson used when he was building the plank road in the American Bottoms. And it's fragile, but you can see the numbers. You can see that it is meticulous. There's no erase marks, and these were all done with quill pens. Very well preserved. It's got the various numbers. I showed it to the folks in the class, and I said, can you do this in your head, or do you need a calculator for it?
They need a calculator.
Yeah, they need a calculator. But this is a document that I've developed a relationship with the Illinois State Archives. We found an original plat of Alton when we were going through some of our old books. We found some other records that have historical significance. As you may know, Madison County predates statehood, so our records go back to 1812. Some of them are in French. With the State Archives, it's something that I was looking for grants for this, and through the relationship with them, they've been very happy to take these documents for us and to digitize them, and where necessary to preserve them to ensure that they are available for a very long time. Word of this got out, and I got a phone call the day after from a gentleman saying, I thought I had the only one. I want to come see this. So if you are a document nerd, if you're into surveying, if you like old records, I just wanted to share this with the Grants Committee and also make sure that, you know, for future purposes, that we preserve that relationship with the state of Illinois. They would be happy to help other offices as well that have documents of historical importance, but we definitely have a lot in the Recorder's Office.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Now, once that's digitized, will part of that be preserved through the museum?
We can preserve it through the museum. I'm working with SIUE because they have Madison County Historic, which is their
video and digital encyclopedia of Madison County. Okay. So that will be shared with them. And we have worked with the university previously. We have 140 Civil War discharge records that the university indexed for them, and the state of Illinois assist us in preserving those as well. But I wanted the grants committee to know about this, because it's basically a grant that we're receiving from the state of Illinois, although it's not something that we have to apply for.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I'll leave that if anybody wants to look at any of the pages, just please be very delicate.
Yeah, right.
There's the American bottoms through there, and here's some of our plats. So,
but Helen loves it.
I know.
This has not been digitized because of the condition. It's very fragile. We are not going to put it through our digital scanners. What the state of Illinois will do is they will take an image of it. After they've preserved it, they'll take an image of it as an overview. But yeah, we have it in our collection. So, and yeah, he got goosebumps, so that was kind of neat.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
All right.
Anything else? All right. Next meeting is Monday, March 12th, 2018. Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Judy and Ann.
March
12th. Right.
Yep.
Good? Thank you.